Greetings and welcome to this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit, where you will discover what it takes to start, build, and fund your nonprofit. I am your host, Sandra Chaney. And today, this conversation is geared mainly towards new nonprofits. It doesn't mean that those of you who already have your 501c3 can't gain some information from this. But this is also mainly geared towards those of you who are looking to start your nonprofit. And today's show title is The Short and Long of the 1023 Application. And so for those of you who are starting your nonprofit, you know, of course, the first step is to make sure that you're incorporated in your state, to make sure that you have at least 3 board members, to make sure that you have a mission statement, of course, your EIN number, you know, your articles of incorporation will come from that once you get incorporated. And then that next step would be to fill out your 1023 application in order to get what most people covet, the 501c3 status. So I want to talk about that because the IRS in 2014 decided to do a easy form, a 1023 easy form. You know how for our personal taxes, you know, we have the 1040 long and then we have the 1040 easy, but the IRS decided to do something similar because there was a backlog of the 1023 application, the long form. And I'm going to tell you the difference between the two and why. And why I suggest that you might want to do the long application. So the 1023 long form, it is cumbersome. I'm not even going to kid you. It's long. It requires a lot. It asks a lot of questions. You really do have to be clear about your mission statement. You really do have to have your EIN number. You also have to have your articles of incorporation. But there are other things that this form requires that you have, namely bylaws. The bylaws govern your organization. They also govern your board of directors. In these bylaws, it talks about when your board meetings will be held. It talks about a little about your mission statement. It talks about what the term limits are for your board of directors. It talks about quite a few things. So the IRS wants to see what are in your bylaws and how you're governing this organization and how your board of directors are being governed, because they see this document and this drives them to drive your organization. The other piece that they're going to ask for is a conflict of interest form. And I've touched on that in previous episodes, but the conflict of interest form, again, has to be attached to the 1023 long form, because they want to see that your board of directors read this policy, right? That they've also signed this policy saying that they have no conflicts. And if they do, that it will be brought to the board so that the other board members clearly understand that this particular board member cannot vote on this particular agenda item. So they want to see what policy you have in place for that. They also want to see your budget. They ask for your current, right? And then your budget 2 years out. They want to see all of that so they can see what your activities are going to be, what type of fundraisers, or if you plan on doing any fundraising. All these things are required with this long form. The other thing that they require is your activities. And this is a narrative that is written. And it is written about your past, present, and future activities. Some of you who may be starting your nonprofit have already begun doing the work, even before you've had the 501c3 or even thought about a nonprofit. So they want to know, what were your past activities? What have you done fundraising wise? Have you done anything in the community? They want to know your current. What are you doing right now, right? In terms of, do you have any fundraising planned right now? Are you planning on writing any grants? Are you in the midst of preparing for, you know, any future programs or current programs? And then the future is So I've planned out a year or maybe a couple of years of what I'm going to do in the next year or so with my nonprofit, meaning the activities and all those things. So they look at all of this. The 1023EZ form doesn't require any of that. What you get is a application where you have to answer first that you qualify to do the 1023EZ. And what that looks like is they ask you questions that you have to check no to. I don't recall all the questions, but you got to check no to these questions. And you have to also be someone who doesn't intend to make over $50,000 in the first 3 years, right? So if you don't think you're going to make $50,000 in the next 3 years, then you check no to all these questions. Then you go out and you fill this 1023EZ. Again, it's a bunch of questions. The challenge with that is you don't have your bylaws. You don't need your bylaws. You don't need a budget. You don't need a conflict of interest form. That could present a problem down the road, because the 2023EZ is almost like when you're doing your taxes for your business, right? You have to have all these components to, you know, to getting your taxes done for your business. Well, same thing with the 1023 long form. By the time your organization gets started, you've already have your bylaws done. You've already had the conflict of interest form done. The budget is already done because you met with your board of directors. So it's already in place. The IRS gets to see who you are, what you're doing. Then they get a chance to vet you. It is important for them to vet you. The 1023EZ does not allow them to see the type of organization that you're going to be, doesn't allow them to see the actual activities that you plan for your nonprofit. It doesn't really allow them to see who your board of directors, even though you list them, it doesn't really give them any insight as to your board of directors because you do not have this narrative that they want you to put together. So when we come back, I'm going to delve further into not only what the cost would be, because, yeah, it comes down to sometimes your pockets, and I clearly do get that. But I want you to understand the importance of one or the other. So we will be back after this commercial.
Hello, this is Pamela Burkett Jones. Welcome to my new podcast. It's called Taking the Lead, Be the First on Your Chain of Command. The show will be airing at 7 o'clock on Thursday. This show is for first responders and military service members who are looking to transition in careers. The show will air 7 o'clock every Thursday. Looking forward to seeing you there.
Are you looking to start a nonprofit and don't know where to begin? Or are you a nonprofit owner who's looking for funding? Greetings, I am Sandra Chaney, and I have over 20 years of experience helping nonprofits either find funding or helping you to create your nonprofit. Schedule a free 25-minute consultation with me, Sandra Chaney, a nonprofit consultant and funding strategist. You may contact me at www.sandrachaney.com. Click on coaching and you'll see nonprofit strategists. I look forward to seeing you soon. Welcome back. I am your host, Sandra Chaney, and we're talking about the 1023 application and the importance of it. So I left off with wanting you to understand the importance of the short and the long form, because most people don't really know that there is a short and long form. And then there are those that do, and they want to know the difference. So here's the challenge with the 1023 easy form. Funders don't particularly like organizations who have filled out the 1023 easy form. Why? Because the IRS has not had a chance to vet you, as I said before the commercial break. They want to know that the IRS has fully, that's almost like, you know, as a nonprofit, you should have an audit, and that's for a future show. We are going to talk about that. But, you know, when you go out to federal grants, a lot of times they do ask for your audited documentation or your audited finances. It is the same thing with the IRS and funders. They want to know that the IRS has vetted you and that you are not some fly-by-night organization, because a lot of people do start nonprofits, honestly, to try to fund a dream. And what I mean by that is there are people who want to get grant money, but they want to flow it through so that they can do something in a for-profit organization, which you cannot do. And so a lot of funders want to know that you've been vetted. They want to know that the IRS has looked at your bylaws. They have seen your activities and what you plan to do, how you plan to fundraise. You know, are you including things that you shouldn't be including in your budget? They want to know if you've gotten donors, because there are some people who actually have been working and doing the nonprofit for even been incorporated, but just never did the 501c3. They want to know, so what have you been doing for the last 2 years if you've been doing this work? Funders need to know that the IRS has vetted you. And the 1023 easy short form, which is what's called the short form, does not allow the IRS to do that at all. And that can present a problem in the long run, because there is a way for funders to find out if you have done the long form or the short form. It's public knowledge. And the difference between the two, other than it being a lot of work, is in terms of the fee. For the long form, is $600. For the short form, is $275. And I know for some people that it's the pockets that makes the difference, right? So what I would encourage those of you to do who are thinking about the easy form, because because of the fee, I would still encourage you to do your bylaws, to do the budget, because it's 3 years they want to. Have your conflict of interest form. Still do the work. Even though they're not requiring you to do that, still do it. And here's why. They could ask for that down the road and you still don't have it. Why would you want to have a board of directors that have not signed a conflict of interest form? Because that protects you and your nonprofit. Why would you want to have a board of directors that does not have bylaws to govern them, to let them know about meetings, to let them know how long their term limits are, and other things that go into these bylaws? Why would you not want that? So, and why would you not want to have a budget that tells you what you're going to do in that very first year? This is all foundational. So whether you do the long form or the short form, these pieces are still foundational. Why would you not want to do your narrative so you understand the activities, the programs that you want to have? This is work that you still need to do. It is important that you do that. It is very important that your board of directors clearly understand that this is something that is vital and important. I want to read something to you that I found from the National Council of Nonprofit, because when the IRS came out with this easy short form, they, along with several other major nonprofit groups, wrote a letter to the Ways and Means Committee of Congress on the federal level to ask them to not allow the IRS to put in this easy the 1023 short form. And their reasoning was, is what I already stated. They felt as if, and I'm going to read this exactly as they said, they said, this new procedure does not require applicants to submit their articles of incorporation or bylaws to ensure they are properly organized and have adopted the appropriate charitable purpose clause, as well as protection against misuse of funds. They first, number one, felt that this was about public trust. Protecting the public trust is essential for nonprofits to operate. This new form will cause distrust as sham operators secure tax-exempt status. Number two, they felt this was about responsibility. If the IRS advocates is assigned duty as gatekeeper, then who will determine whether applicants legitimately deserve charitable status? And number three, concern for the taxpayers. The IRS intentional shift from preventive front end enforcement to reactive back end is like saying we'll enforce after a car wreck, instead of doing its best to keep up ill-prepared, or worse, ill-prepared drivers off the road. So in other words, that's like, you know, someone who's didn't take a driving course, right? But they decide they're going to get in the car and they're going to go try to drive without taking any lessons, without going to a driving school. What they're saying is that this is a train wreck waiting to happen. So I'm encouraging you to think long and hard about how you decide to prepare your nonprofit. It is essential to the foundation because there are watchdogs that are actually watching as these new nonprofits are coming up. I know it was a lot of information. So as I close this show, I want to thank you for listening to this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit. And if you do have questions, I want you to go to my website to receive a free 25-minute consultation at www.saundrachaney.com. And I want you to also remember this, that an inspired and successful nonprofit leader is a leader who remembers their why and works from the inside out, because it is truly an inside job. Thank you for listening.